Welcome back to another episode of Milestone Mama. I'm so excited you're here today for another amazing birth story. Today, Rachel is going to share the story of her little girl Dahlia with us. She opted for an unmedicated hospital birth with midwife care and doula support. We're just going to jump right into today's episode and let Rachel take it from here. Welcome to the Milestone Mama podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Hollis, wife, boy mom, and former fitness instructor turned photographer, educator, and birth doula. Becoming a mom in 2020 completely changed my life. And even though it was the greatest joy I've ever felt, it definitely came with some challenges that no one could have ever prepared me for. But I found so much healing and community, and that's why this podcast was born. Tune in each week as we uncover all of the nuances of being a mom, from pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and everything in between. If you're ready to connect, to grow, to learn, and to feel inspired, seen, and heard, then you've come to the right place. And I'm so glad you're here, Mama. Let's go ahead and get this thing started. Welcome back, mamas. We are here today with my friend Rachel Latson, and she's going to be sharing her birth story with us of her little girl. So welcome, Rachel. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you. It's really good to be here.
Yeah. This is another one of those like cold birth stories. I haven't heard any of this detail, so I'm hearing it fresh with everybody else. I'm really excited for you to get into it. But before we do, can you just give everybody a brief intro on who you are, about your family, maybe a little bit about what you do, all that stuff?
Sure. So I live in Durham, North Carolina with my husband and our almost 4 month old now, having lots of fun sleeping at night. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
And we also have two dogs and I have a horse, which is how Chelsea and I know each other because we were volunteering. And she taught a yoga class at the place I was volunteering at, which was really fun.
Yeah.
It feels like forever ago.
But, I know. It really does.
But I do digital marketing. So I sit at a computer on Zoom meetings all day. So it feels very natural to me. But telling my birth story does not feel super natural to me. just because I had an unmedicated birth and I kind of debated a lot about, you know, whether or not I really wanted to talk to people about it much because I felt like sometimes there's some stigmas and, you know, different things like that. And I haven't talked about this much before. So this will be my first time like telling my full story, but I'm really excited to tell my story because listening to birth stories, and actually Chelsea, your birth story was, you know, one of the first ones that I listened to where I was like, oh, like, this is really interesting. And I'm actually really excited to do this, to have a baby, and not scared. So I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, well, that makes me so happy. I'm like all getting all teary eyed over here, but yeah, I know what you mean. And I feel like each time I talk about it on Instagram or on this podcast, I'm wary because I'm passionate about unmedicated birth, but I don't believe it's the only right way to have birth. There's obviously no such thing as that. And so I have my personal reasons for why I chose it, but that does not mean it's the right thing for everybody. And I think, you know, we can get a little bit caught up in like being afraid that if we talk about it or outspoken about our experiences, that it is coming off in a way of being judgmental or, you know, you know what I'm saying. So, I totally catch your drift, and this is a safe space for all sorts of birth stories. So I'm excited for you to have the platform to get to share yours because it is important.
Yeah.
Why don't you just start it at the beginning and tell us how it all went down?
Yeah. So I kind of want to start a little bit in pregnancy first before I get into actual having the baby, or I keep calling her the baby. It's like she has a name. Her name is Dahlia. But for so long, I just referred to her as the baby.
Yeah.
So anyway, so when I first found out I was pregnant, you know, it's during COVID. I wasn't planning, like my husband and I weren't planning to have a baby. We weren't like sad about it by any means, but we were just kind of scared just because of the time that we're in right now. Just feels, you know, everything just feels really uncertain and kind of scary. So starting off that way, like actually when I found out I was pregnant, I like came down, I had taken a test and I like came downstairs and was making breakfast and I was standing there crying and Chris was like, "Are you pregnant?" And I was like, "How did you know?" And he was like, "Well, why else would you be crying over breakfast? Like, this doesn't make any sense." And because I was just nervous, you know, about how things were going to happen. But anyway, but something I did want to share about pregnancy that I think could be helpful, because so I listened to a lot of birth stories and it really helped me feel empowered. And it, you know, I hadn't really thought about getting pregnant before. So I wasn't really sure, you know, what questions I should ask, like how to find a provider, like anything like that. And when we moved to Durham, I had started going to an OBGYN that I just found online. They were good enough, did my annual exam. Thanks, bye. And so I went to them first. And it was a fine experience. I didn't have any of those like warm fuzzies with them, which, you know, it's not super common to have with your doctor, I guess, but I just wanted to feel like they were excited for me too, somehow. And I never felt that way. It always felt very rushed and just very, you know, clinical, which is what it is. But I was talking to my friend Hannah, who is also our doula, and we've known each other for a long time, and was talking about how I wanted to have the baby and like what I, you know, what my birth plan was basically. And I had told her that, you know, whenever I'd go to my doctor, they made a big deal about how much weight I was gaining. And I did gain 70 pounds, which, you know, is not a small number. But they kind of made it out like, oh my gosh, if you gain one more pound, like this is going to be terrible for you. And, you know, I'd been doing some research and I was like, you know, everybody gains different amounts. I think when my mom had me, she gained like about the same amount. So it felt pretty normal to me. And every time I went in, they were like, "You're measuring fine. The baby looks great." I'm like, "So why are you giving me such a hard time about how much weight I'm gaining?" So I decided to look for a new doctor. This was around a little bit after 20 weeks because we had just found out the sex. And she had also encouraged me, you know, based on wanting to have an unmedicated birth. She said, "You'd probably like to deliver with a midwife." And I didn't know anything about midwives. I thought that sounded kind of like ancient, just not something I'd ever really thought about before. But anyway, I found the Durham Women's Clinic and loved them. And I ended up switching like halfway through pregnancy and it was not difficult at all. And they were super welcoming. Sorry, I might hear my dog in the background some. But they were awesome. And they did something called a centering class. I don't know, Chelsea, did you do any classes during your pregnancy? I haven't listened to your birth story yet. Sorry, I know it just came out again.
No, that's okay. No, I didn't. I'm interested to hear about that. But before you do tell us about that, I want to say thank you for highlighting that piece because I think that's really important. I think so many women probably go into this thinking like, well, I'm just going to go to who I've been going to, or this looks good enough or whatever. And I was talking to someone else about this recently. I forget who, but I said, I really feel like women or and families like spend more time picking out their nursery color than they do their provider. And that's like a really big deal, you know, or like the wedding vendors they're going to go with or something like that. And it's like, this is actually like a really, it's really important factor in how this whole experience is going to pan out. And I'm going to do an episode on this, but I just took that VBAC masterclass to get my VBAC specialist added to my doula certification. And I was so mind blown at how pivotal like providers really are. And sometimes being supported in a VBAC comes down to just like whether or not that provider has the insurance for it, you know? And so all those things matter. And it's good to know that you have permission to be picky and to switch providers, even if it's halfway through your pregnancy or heck at 30 weeks, 35 weeks of pregnancy, if you're feeling like that's not the right thing for you. So
yeah.
Unfortunately here in Wilmington, the options are very limited because we're in a smaller city. So there's about like 3 places you could go to, but, you know, if you're in a situation like that, it does make it a little tricky, but at least build the care team around you as much as you can, whether it's hiring a doula or whatever it might be. So just wanted to touch on that. But yeah, go ahead and tell us about this centering class. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, so it was a really basic class. I mean, we just kind of went through, you know, what to expect, like, you know, when to go to the hospital, like when to call them, you know, like a little like a class on breastfeeding. And it was I think at one point it was monthly, but I wasn't a part of the clinic at that point, but they let me join. And you're with people who are in the same gestational time period as you. So we all had our babies within like a month and a half of each other. And being sort of new to the area, it was nice to get to meet other families who are in the same stage of life as us and like right down the road. And we've actually gotten together a couple of times with the babies since then, which is really fun.
That is, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think they told us if it hadn't been for COVID and we could go in, what we would have done is we would have had our meeting where we go over the kind of the course material for the day. And then we can ask questions. They would also have us do our own checks. So we would have checked the baby's heart rate. We would have measured ourselves. They would have taught us to do all that as a group. But since they didn't do that, I still went in for regular appointments, and then we had Zoom meetings. But the thing that was cool about the Zoom meetings is we had a lot more partners get to join. So Chris and I both got to go to all these classes and ask questions. And it was really fun because they asked some questions that like I would have never even thought to ask. And I felt like I learned a lot about the whole experience. And some people I know have taken other classes, and there's some things like I wish I had taken like a full breastfeeding class because that was a little more trickier than I expected it to be. But it was a very good, just basic, okay, like, here's what to expect when you're expecting, basically. So yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, because I know, especially at the beginning, you're like, I've never done this before. And sometimes you can feel like just a number, and they're like, oh, well, here's a handout, like, see you in a few weeks. And yeah, there's so much information that we don't know. So that's great that you felt supported in that way and learned beyond what you thought was even available. So kudos to that provider.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was a thing. I was really happy when I started working with them. And they work with midwives through there's some of them that work at the practice, but they have other ones. And so they end up having a doctor and a midwife on call every night at the hospital. And I kind of, you know, switched around to different providers in the same provider at my different appointments. So I got to meet them all, which was really nice. So I hadn't met the midwife that actually delivered us, but she was awesome. So it didn't matter. So I'll get to that in a little bit. My weekly appointments were on Fridays, and my due date was on Thursday, and my due date came and went, and I was like, all right, I would like to have a baby now. So I went to the doctor on Friday, and I hadn't had a check yet, like a cervical check. I think that's what it's called. So I asked her, I was like, okay, can you go ahead and check me? Cause I'm ready. Like something about hitting my due date was like, I like need this baby out of me now. Which I hadn't really felt that way up until then. So, she checked me and she was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, you're 2 to 3 centimeters, you're completely effaced. And she's like, and I can like feel the baby. She's like kind of dropped down. And I was like, all right, good. She's like, you're going to have a baby this weekend. And I was like, you better not get my hopes up for nothing. Yeah. And to kind of help not really guarantee it, but to maybe hopefully speed things along, I had her, do a membrane sweep, which didn't hurt. And I've heard some people say that it has, but I was surprised. I didn't really notice it. And so then I went home, and I think it was that night I lost my mucus plug or something of that nature, which was a little bit alarming at first, to see that in the toilet.
Weird.
But yeah, but it did make me realize like, okay, like something she did must've worked and like things are happening. So I was really like pumped. I was like, maybe it'll be tonight, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Especially cause I'd been having contractions in the evening. Well, you know, like practice contractions in the evenings, pretty frequently, like on and off for a couple weeks. So I was like, things have got to be starting up. And of course that night they started up again, and I was like, all right, here we go. I'm really excited. This is almost it. And, I like barely slept that night, because you know, I'd be up anywhere between every 5 minutes to every 30 minutes feeling them. And as soon as I would have one, I wanted to just like jump up out of bed and walk around, because that was like the only way to really kind of get some relief, which also kind of made it go away, which is how I knew it wasn't quite time yet. So morning came and they stopped. And so this was Saturday, and I was a little bummed that I hadn't had her that night, but it was fine. I'd like went outside and tried to do some like hardcore gardening, and hopefully that would make her arrive. And we didn't eat lunch that day, so we had a really early dinner. And as the sun set again, they started to come back. And on Saturday night, it was to the point where like they were happening much more frequently, not at the like, what is it, 411?
Yeah.
Is that the right number? Yeah, mm-hmm. That kind of stage yet. But frequently enough. And so, you know, I was really not sleeping at all. So I would fall asleep, and then like 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, I would have a contraction and get up and walk around. And then I would get in the shower some. And I noticed at a certain point in the night that even being in the shower didn't really provide any relief. And so I was like, okay, this is it. So we called the hospital, like, all right, we're ready to come in. And they were like, you don't sound like you're ready. Mm-hmm. Fine. Okay. I'll be patient. And so anyway, then around like 8 o'clock that morning, when they would usually have been gone by that point, they were still happening. And they still were kind of like 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, they never really got that frequent. But I was like in a lot of pain, and like, I was like, I just want to go in, because it feels like something's happening. Like, this feels right. And when they would happen, it would, you know, take my breath away. Like, I couldn't do anything other than just like be in the moment. And I kind of heard that was when, you know, if you can't talk or you can't concentrate, then like it's probably, you know, starting to happen. So, right. And my water hadn't broken. And I was kind of expecting that to happen, but it didn't. So we ended up calling again, and they were supposed to call us, like we would page the midwife on call, and they were supposed to call back within 20 minutes, and they didn't call back in 20 minutes. So I think they were actually pretty busy at the hospital. But we went ahead and got in the car. Like, it's time, let's go. So we get there around, I think like 9:30 or 10. And something else about COVID that was really strange is, you know, you get to the hospital and there's usually tons of people in the waiting room, and, you know, like a lot going on, and it was dead. I was like, are we even in the right place? Like, there's no one here. There's a guy, like a security guard at the front, who checked us in, and then we didn't see a single person until we got up to the maternity floor. And then once we got in there, there were tons of doctors and nurses, and walking in there, I felt really ready before we got onto the floor. But as soon as we walked in there and I saw all the doctors and nurses and heard the beeping and the fluorescent lights, I just kind of froze and like started to tear up, and was like, I don't want to be here. Like, I need to get out of here. This doesn't feel right. I want to be back in my like safe cocoon at home. And for some reason, it makes me feel emotional just saying that, because it was like such a just guttural, like, I don't want to be here. Because
like, this is, you know, getting real. Times,
yeah. Well, and a lot of times you go to the hospital for bad things, you know, like people are really sick. And with COVID happening too, I just didn't really feel super safe in the moment. But anyway, we got into our room, and it was a little easier because there was, you know, not as many people there. And they had me, you know, get into my gown, and they like did my COVID test, which was negative. And so I ended up being able to deliver without a mask on because of that.
Did they check you in order to admit you, or?
It was the first thing they did, like before I like got undressed or anything like that. They took my test and they got it back pretty quickly. They like had me keep my mask on, but they did have me go ahead and get undressed so I could be checked. But yeah, it was the first thing they did. And that was actually the first COVID test I'd ever had, because I had pretty much been on lockdown like all pregnancy. So I was terrified of getting it.
Yeah, it's not as bad as everyone makes it seem. I've been tested like 3 times now, I think. And I'm like, yeah, it's not the best thing in the world, but it's not that terrible.
No, yeah. I was like, I feel like there's like more in store for me today.
So yeah, exactly. Exactly. If I can't do this up my nose, then I'm in for it with labor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, so I got checked in, and they checked me, and they were like, oh, like you're at 7 centimeters. And I was like, awesome. Like, I'm gonna have a baby in like a couple hours. So I asked the nurse, and she's like, oh, you'll probably dilate another centimeter every hour, and then you'll probably push for a couple hours and boom, you'll have a baby like before the afternoon, which is, spoiler alert, not what happened exactly. we got checked in and we were hanging out and I was having contractions and they brought me like a yoga ball and they brought like a peanut ball and they were really awesome. And I asked to not have the monitor on me the whole time because I wanted to be able to get up and move around. And they were really just everything that I asked for. I gave them my birth plan. They were super just respectful. And they left us alone most of the time. Like they would come in every like 30 minutes or an hour to like check on the baby. And then they would leave. They brought us some snacks.
Was there a doula with you at that point?
No. So my doula, I had a family vacation to Florida planned. And I told her we're really close and she hadn't seen her family in like a year. Well, I don't know how long it was, but it was a while. And I was like, you know, go on your vacation. Like I was born 2 weeks late. Chris was born 2 weeks after our due date. I'm probably not going to have her right away. Like go on your vacation. And she was supposed to come back. I think she had already been scheduled to come back on Sunday because it was Sunday morning. And I did tell her, I was like, hey, we checked into the hospital, but I know you're in Florida, so don't worry about it. And she was like, well, you know, funny story. I just had a feeling that I needed to leave early. And so we got on the road at like 3-4 a.m. and I'll be there by this afternoon. She's like, I don't know if I'll make it in time, but I'll try. I was like, all right, well, come straight to the hospital if you want to. Like, that would be great. So she wasn't there for a good bit of it. But luckily it took a long time. So she did make it.
So,
and they let us like, you know, dim the lights and like turn the air up because it was freezing in there and I was really cold. And we watched Wonder Woman on the movie on TV, one of them. I don't know which one. I wasn't really able to watch it, but you know, it felt really much more relaxed than I expected to be in the hospital.
Yeah.
So a lot of time passed. I won't like scare you tell you every hour of the waiting game, but I was able to get in the shower. But I think Hannah, who was my doula, arrived at maybe 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock. I don't know. Time starts to kind of be difficult to tell when you're in the hospital for a while and you're going through contractions and things are getting more intense. You just kind of start to lose track. But it was definitely in like the early evening when she got there. And I think I had gotten to maybe like 8 centimeters at that point. So like spent most of the day getting 1 centimeter and was not feeling super hopeful about things. And around the time she got there, I guess she was there for a little bit longer, but at some point the midwife who was working with us was like, you know, I've got to go in and do a C-section with the doctor. So I'm going to be gone for about an hour. And, you know, water still hadn't broken. And she was like, how about you do this like spinning babies move to see if you can get to 10 centimeters while I'm gone. And so what she had me do was lay like on the edge of the bed, like facing on my side, facing off the bed. And Chris stood sort of like at my hip. And I don't remember exactly what he did, but my top leg was like hanging over. I have to kind of open up my pelvis a little bit more. And he was holding me in place. And it was super painful. But kind of everybody in the room's consensus was, well, like if it's not been super painful yet and you're going, things are kind of moving really slow and you want it to speed up, then maybe like it to be a little painful might actually be what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not like excruciating, like it was just like during contractions, I was like, this is really uncomfortable. We did that for about an hour, different sides, and I would try to, and Hannah was helping me out with other different positions, like getting on like my knees and holding onto the back of the bed, which was pretty uncomfortable too. So we were just kind of like, okay, how uncomfortable can I get to see if it'll work? And by the time the midwife came back, I had gotten to 10 centimeters and each kind of time she checked, she would ask like, do you want me to break your water? And I was like, no, let's not do it. And so once I got to 10, she was like, well, you know, we can keep waiting, but you're not going to get any more dilated. So let's go ahead and break your water. And I said, okay, let's do that. And so she did that. And, you know, immediately after that, I was like, okay, things are happening now. Like, I feel like this is going to happen soon. And I started to kind of feel like some pressure, like kind of on my rectum. And I'd heard that that was sort of like, you know, you're starting to get ready to need to push. So I'd kind of started to get into, like, tried to push a little bit whenever it kind of felt right. And then, and they did all kinds of really cool things in terms of pushing. Like, you know, they dropped the bottom of the bed down and let me squat, and they put the bar on the bed, let me put my feet up, and tied like a sheet to it, let me hold on to it. I was really just impressed at, because I had read Ina May Garten's Guide to Childbirth, and
yeah,
the book was written a little while ago, and so I think maybe things were a little different, or maybe the hospital we were at was just a little different. But I was kind of like ready to be like, no, like I want to do things this way, and like have to push back. But I didn't have to do that at all. They were all very like, whatever you want to do, however you feel like it's going to work for you, like that's how we're going to do things.
That's awesome.
Which I really, yeah, it was really awesome. So after a while, I think it was like 9 o'clock maybe, or 8 o'clock. I don't know. Anyway, it was in the later evening. And I started to push, and it was about an hour and 45 minutes of pushing. And I had, you know, Hannah was helping kind of hold up my legs, because I was really tired. I hadn't eaten since 3 o'clock the day before, and hadn't really slept in like two nights because I had been up having contractions all night. So I was getting really tired at that point, but it was really nice because like I had Hannah holding one leg, like a nurse holding one leg, Chris like holding my hand and like talking to me. And I was telling the midwife, I was like, you know, can you give me some progress report? Like, is her head coming down? Where is she? Like, cause I could feel, could feel everything, but you know, never done this before. I was like, is she like about to come out, or is she like, you know, not even close? And she told me to like, you know, feel her head. And that was really cool. And then she said, well, how about we bring a mirror in here so you can see what's happening? And I don't think I actually said yes to that because it kind of terrified me, but she went ahead and brought it in. And it was like a little mirror on wheels, and she put it down there. And that was one super neat, because I had seen videos of people giving birth, but it's totally different to see yourself giving birth.
Yeah.
It was really neat. And then also like for Chris too, because I wanted him with me if I needed comfort, but I also wanted this experience to be just as much for him as it was for me, because you know, he can't experience this the same way. And it's both of our babies, our baby. So yeah, so we had to watch her be born. And it was also really helpful because at a certain point, you know, I would be pushing. She'd be like, okay, like, you know, each contraction, I would get maybe three pushes. And I like kind of, you know, the first one, she would kind of, after one push, she would kind of go back up and then push again, and she'd go back up. And that was fine for a while, kind of getting there, but at kind of closer to the end, they were like, all right, see if you can sort of hold her down and then do another push and push her a little further down. And being able to see that really was so helpful.
Yeah,
it was awesome. And the other kind of interesting thing is my contractions never really got closer than 5 minutes apart. So I had a lot of time in between to relax and to take a breather. And like, as I was getting really tired, I kind of would fall asleep a little bit in between them and kind of like wake back up. And I was like, okay, it's time, everybody, like pay attention, grab my leg. And anyway, yeah, so she came on out into this world. And that like maybe 30 seconds of it was like very, very intense. And, I was a little bit hoarse afterward from letting out some nice guttural sounds.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah. But yeah, she made it into this world, and it was the coolest thing. And you know, then I pushed out the placenta, and I did have a little bit of a tear. I think it was like a second degree tear. And I think for me, the stitches were probably the most uncomfortable part of the whole ordeal, just because, and well, backtracking a little bit, like, you know, I said we were having notes isn't helpful for, but I haven't looked at them yet.
That's
but
okay.
When it came to choosing how I wanted to give birth, the idea of an epidural was really scary to me. Like, I've never had surgery, never had anything like that other than like a liquid, like a saline IV before or whatever it is. So I was terrified to have an epidural. And I think the idea of giving birth, even though it can be, you know, uncomfortable or painful, you know, you're getting a baby out of it. So it's like a means to an end, whereas having stitches or something, hold on just a second. Okay, I'll take this.
No.
Yeah, somebody who needs a mama.
Sweet girl.
Hi.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute.
Yeah, I figured she would probably wake up and be hungry. Let me get her situated real quick.
You are all good.
So the thought of an epidural was scary because, you know, you're not, well, I mean, you are getting a baby out of it, but it's like that initial pain. And so it's kind of how I felt about stitches too. It's like, I mean, yeah, I guess I'm getting stuff and that's what I'm getting out of the deal, but like still was very uncomfortable and I did not like it. And I was like, can you, oh, hey, it's okay. And I was like, can you hurry up and like give me more lidocaine, please?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I was going to say, I think I got like a stitch that I can remember, but I don't remember feeling it at all. Cause it definitely gave me lidocaine, or maybe at that point I was just too tired to even feel anything. I don't know, but I feel like that's the least they can do when you don't have an epidural is like, just give you a ton of lidocaine afterwards. Yeah. You don't have to feel any of that stuff.
Yeah, well, and I had also heard like, oh, when you have your baby, like you won't think about them doing stitches or you won't even feel them to come out. And I was like, you know, I love my baby and was very much on an oxytocin high, but I still felt that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Makes sense that you would. And like you said, it's different when you're in the process of birthing a baby and that's like what's mentally going through your mind versus like, ow, I have, you know, a cut down there and it's being stitched up with a needle. It's just a totally different mindset. And I think the way that our mind perceives things, therefore, like you feel pain differently. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that totally makes sense the way that you're describing it.
Yeah. And I haven't done any like preparation in terms of like, I know like some people do like the hypnobirthing type thing. But I had like really focused on a lot of mantras and I had like had written them out and brought them into the hospital room, but I hadn't really done anything related to stitches.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're fine. Some crankiness going on. She's definitely not feeling good today. But I'm losing my train of thought. I guess we might have to do a little more editing on this.
It's okay. I don't mind at all.
So another thing that was kind of fun. Oh, hi. I'm going to make a cut this short. Okay. So our midwife was really, really funny. Oh, I totally forgot this one thing that is actually kind of interesting. So I mentioned that my contractions were kind of far apart. And the midwife told Chris, she was like, here, like put some of the, cause she had been kind of putting like a little bit of lube and like a hot pack on my perineum to help with tearing.
Yeah.
So she gave Chris some lube and was like, starts to like stimulate her nipples. Cause that might speed up her contractions. She's like, my husband swears that he like delivered one of our babies because he did this and it sped things up. And sure enough, it actually did work like really well. I was kind of shocked. Like they went from being like 5 minutes apart to like 3 minutes apart toward the end. And I was quite shocked by that. And she also, whenever the placenta came out, she was like, let's take a tour of the placenta. Like, check it out. And it was like showing it to everybody.
That's so cool.
She was just like really, really sweet.
And I love that.
Too. Yeah.
I didn't get to see that. I wish I did. I was going to say the nipple stimulation thing is cool. I actually saw a TikTok the other day of an OBGYN rating all the different ways that you can quote unquote induce labor, like all the, you know, wives' tales thing, like raspberry leaf tea and all that type of thing. And she was like, what were the two things that she said were like actually scientifically true? I don't remember what the second one was, but the first one was nipple stimulation. It actually does release oxytocin. Yeah. So like it will work. And I remember hearing that and being like, well, what does that even mean? Like, I didn't know what does that look like? And I'm like, oh, okay. It's like when you could put a breast pump on, or like the way that you would hand express milk, basically. It's not just like randomly touching your boobs.
Yeah. And I mean, I was really shocked that it works. I'm usually not really into having to mess with too much.
Yeah, me neither. So,
but it made a big difference. I think she like wants to like see you. She's like looking up there. Like, who is this that you're talking to? Show me.
Oh my god.
But yeah, and I guess the only other thing, so I did have my placenta encapsulated. I'd heard kind of some like contradicting things of like, yes, this is really helpful for like postpartum depression and lactation and kind of hormone balancing. And then I've heard a lot of this doesn't do anything. I went ahead and did it because, you know, I grew this thing for 9 months. So I'd like to
might as well,
you know, keep it. And, you know, I did feel really good after having her, which might have had nothing to do with it. But it was really neat. The person who did it just kind of came to the hospital. She was also a doula and picked it up and then dropped it off at my house like 2 days later.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know too many people that did it. I had the option and I remember them asking me like, do you want to keep it? And we hadn't really like, I went back and forth about it a lot. And then when I suddenly got induced early, it was like the last thing on my mind, you know? But I couldn't find a lot of data on it. I think it is more like anecdotal experience. But at the same time, can't really hurt either. Like if it could potentially help, might as well give it a shot. And the women that I have talked to that have done it have said that they think that it did help. Do I know if they have necessarily a baseline control to like compare it to? I don't know, but
right.
I think it's just cool in general. And like you said, I mean, you spent all that time growing it. I feel like there's got to be something to preserving the nutrients and all that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, my only advice for anybody who does it is if you're given the option to have flavored capsules instead of just plain Jane, definitely do a flavor because it tasted horrible. Very difficult to take. But I mean, I only took it for like 6 weeks afterwards. So it wasn't the end of the world, but yeah, it doesn't taste great.
I would imagine not. I don't know that I can really picture it. I don't know that I really want to.
Yeah.
It's better than like making smoothies or something like some people do with it. Just like, straight up, you know.
I think the only time I'd ever heard of it prior to getting pregnant was like, I think Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was not a smoothie. It was just a little capsule.
I love it. Well, how big was she, by the way?
She's 8 pounds and 2 ounces.
Okay.
Yep. And she is 20 and a half inches long. She's a pretty
good size.
Good little size. Not too big. My husband was like almost 10 pounds and I was like, you can be gigantic.
Oh,
but
Lord.
Even, I mean, honestly, that's really, that was something that when I was, you know, listening to birth stories and reading birth stories, I was reading a lot of, you know, your baby is most likely the size that you can birth. Like,
yes,
you know, yes, things happen and like emergencies can happen. And I was definitely prepared for, you know, if they tell me I need a C-section or need to be induced, like I will do whatever it takes to have a healthy baby born.
Of course.
But, you know, I was like, I think my body is prepared to do this. Like women have been doing this for so long. And that gave me a lot of strength in the moment, just thinking of, you know, for, you know, years and years and years, like women have been having babies, like animals have babies all the time. And you know, they don't have any medication. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, I think I can do this. It was a really, really good experience. And I was like telling them it, like as soon as I had her, I was like, I would do that again. And they were like, you know, normally we don't hear people say that they want to have a baby right after they have one, but okay. We might wait a little while just because, you know, we're starting to pay for daycare now and that's
right.
I know. But
that's awesome. Yeah. I'm so glad that it's such a Beautiful story, and you are super strong. I mean, the way you, it sounds like you coped with it and handled it very, very well, the way that you described the whole process.
I mean, for the most part, there were definitely times where, like, you know, Chris was kind of watching the movie and I was like, turn the volume off right now. Like, I just need silence. And like, I had brought some music too. And we listened to my birth playlist like probably 20 times because things took so long. I was like, all right, I can't listen to these songs anymore.
Note to self, make your birth playlist many hours long.
Yeah. Prepare for like the whole day.
Yeah. Yeah. At least like you at least want it for the active part of when it's hard or like something to focus on. If that's something that you like. I know not everyone even likes music when they're in labor, but I felt like it was a really helpful tool as well.
Yeah. I don't even remember it playing, and it might've been turned off at that point or the battery might've died. I'm really not sure, but I don't remember listening to it. I just remember really focusing on breathing. And I'd done a lot of yoga kind of not leading up to it. I didn't really do anything while I was pregnant other than walk around. But like years kind of leading up to being pregnant, I'd done a lot of yoga and really was kind of trained on like focusing on my breath and sort of like, you know, pushing your breath into the part of your body that needs it the most. And I think that was really helpful because anytime things did get really tough, I was just like, okay, like just focus on breathing. Like, you know, you can get through anything in like 30 seconds or however long it's going to be rough. Cause you know, it doesn't last that long in the middle of a contraction. They're fairly fast. I mean, it doesn't always feel like it, but they go pretty quickly.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your awesome story. Thank you all for listening, and we will chat with you next week. Bye.
Bye.